Heavenly Father, we love you today. I pray that you would just have your will and way in this service this morning and in the morning service to follow. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would have free reign and authority throughout these services on the campus of Fellowship Baptist Church here in Clayton this day. Help us to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, for that's why we're here. Help the Christians to be encouraged and strengthened and to grow. Those that are closest to hell this morning, dear Lord, that do not know you as their Savior, I pray today would be their salvation, and that they would allow the Holy Spirit to convict their hearts and then to move on that conviction. Help us now, I pray, in this hour, in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Colossians chapter 3 is where we'll be at this morning for just a few minutes. Colossians chapter 3. As we are winding down this Sunday school quarter, as we try to summarize and look at just the final few individuals of this standard of the eagle and the standard of the cross, it never amazes me how the Lord will direct and how the Holy Spirit will move and guide in the prayers of teachers as they're seeking the will of God on what to teach on. And as the Holy Spirit was leading this week, I was like, Lord, there's nothing said about these individuals. They're found in one portion of Scripture, three verses. Their names are mentioned, one individual is mentioned twice by name, and the other is mentioned once by name. There's just nothing to teach on. And as I dwelled on it and prayed about it, and my wife is really my sounding board, I talked to her about it, and she's like, Lord will come through, He always does. And He does. It's amazing as you start writing and preparing a Sunday school lesson or a message, how the Holy Spirit just takes over and how He, it's none of my wisdom. It's none of my strength. I stand before you today as a sounding board. I am a vessel that the Lord is using today. This is none of me. And that's the way we should want it. None of us, but all of the Lord. So in Colossians chapter 3, look with me in the first five verses. We could really read the whole chapter here, but for sake of time, let's look at the first five verses. Colossians 3, verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ," that's of course talking to Christians at the church at Colossae, "if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." So we're not just to look in the atmosphere or at the birds or just out in space, we are to look where God is. It says, "where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Let's put our mind on heavenly things. That's what we've been talking about this whole quarter. It's raising high the standard of the cross, looking towards the things of God and the heavenly eternal things. And it says, "set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Praise the Lord, that old life is dead. We still have the flesh that we carry around, but I'm not subjected to it anymore. I have a higher authority. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, and He shall, could be today, He shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. What a promise. If Christ was to come back today, we would appear with Him in glory. If you know Him as your Savior. If you don't, you need to. You need to. Verse 5, "mortify, therefore, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." Oh, how we could keep reading. We are to consider ourselves dead in Christ. That's what those verses are talking about. That's what this whole chapter is talking about, is to consider ourselves as Christians dead and living unto Christ. Now turn over to Matthew and let's see what the Lord said. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16 verse 24, we'll pick it up here in the middle of this conversation where he's foretelling his death and his resurrection. Matthew 16, verse 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man," it's not limited, it's unlimited, "if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." We are to consider ourselves dead, Christians. Dead to our nature, our old nature. Dead to that flesh. We are to die to self daily, if not more than that. Moment by moment in our lives, putting down those carnal thoughts and those carnal natures that we carry around us with us. And Christ says, if you will do that, if you're going to follow me, you must be dead. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, put to death those old natures, those old desires, those old goals and ambitions, and live for me. It said in Colossians, set your affections on things above. And how we could just talk about these portions of Scripture. But the Lord has directed to two individuals today that we'll find in the book of Acts that are selfless sacrificers. They are consistently, throughout the known Scriptures that we have of them, they have been sacrificing selflessly of themselves, and they portray these two portions of Scripture completely. They have mortified their flesh. They have put to death their self. They have denied themselves to follow Christ. Growing up, were you ever picked over, looked over time and time again at a PE activity? You know, when they're picking, two captains come up and they're going to pick a kickball team or a flag football team. Were you ever one of the last ones picked? I was. I wore glasses. Everybody's like, psh, guy with glasses, he can't play. Or in your neighborhood. We had a great group of kids in our neighborhood. And in our neighborhood, we'd always have pickup games of kickball or dodgeball. I hated dodgeball. Basketball, baseball, whatever. We were constantly playing in the yard. But were you ever one that was picked over? Last one picked or not picked at all? How'd that make you feel? Angry? Hurt, upset? What were the resulting actions of those feelings? Did you go home sulking? Did you have a day of bitterness and anger? If the activity was in your own yard, like it was sometimes in my yard, and you were picked over and it was your ball, I took the ball and I went inside. That's just how I was. I wasn't saved. If it was in someone else's yard, did you just go home and say, oh, forget it? I didn't want to play anyway, you know. Have you ever been looked over at work for a promotion or passed over for someone else that you feel like was not as qualified as you were? I'm sure many of us have been in that position. How did that make you feel? Of course, hurt. Sometimes angry. You get depressed. You get despondent. You're like, well, I'm not going to work really hard anymore. So what were those resulting actions? Slacking off. Jealousy. Not willing to help others or that one that got the promotion. Well, I'm not going to help them. I'm not going to assist them. Have you ever been in a place that someone failed to give you the recognition you felt you deserved? Ooh, that hit home. How'd that make you feel? The same. Angry, hurt, depressed, bitter. What were the resulting actions of that? Sulking. Say, I'm going to get some revenge. not willing to get involved again. Say, I'm just going to be a bystander. I'm going to be an observer. Say, the church needed someone to teach a class or an assistant teacher, and you were willing, but someone else was chosen. Did you just say, well, I'm just going to sit on a pew then. They don't need me. They don't want me. Today we come to two individuals that were passed over for others. They were passed over for a place of incredible responsibility, a place of notoriety, a place of recognition and of power, a place of purpose, a place of life-defining actions. They were passed over by not just a supervisor or a team captain or a neighborhood friend. They were passed over by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And what were their feelings? What were their actions? They were selflessly sacrificing even through that Passover. When Jesus Christ called the 12 disciples to Himself in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, you can turn there if you'd like, Luke 6 verse 12, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out," Jesus went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. "And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples." Notice the wording here. Christ has gone out and he's prayed all night for the wisdom of God to make the right choice. He comes back when it was day to his disciples. He says he called unto him his disciples. And of them, of who? Of the disciples, he chose 12. So that means there were more than 12 disciples when Christ came back from praying all night. As he looked among his disciples and he called them unto himself, he chose 12 from that group, whom also he named apostles. That was the original 12. There were more than 12 qualified candidates there. There were multiple. Later on in the scriptures, Christ sends out 70, two by two, to go out and to witness and to preach and to teach. Undoubtedly, those had been people that had been trained by God, by Christ Himself, probably of these disciples here, the qualified candidates. In Acts chapter 1, we get the qualifications, the requirements on how to be an apostle of Christ. In Acts 1 and verse 21, the Word of God teaches us and tells us the requirements it took that Christ would select you from that group. "Wherefore," is Acts 1:21, "wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us." That's the first requirement. Peter is here in the upper room with the other 10 disciples, and the women are there and other disciples are there, and they're praying. Christ has ascended back into heaven. It's getting close to the day of Pentecost and the coming of the Comforter, the coming of the Holy Spirit of God. And they're there, and Peter stands up and says, "We need to fill this empty position where Judas has been vacated." And so, and we won't get into the discussion if this was chosen of God or chosen of man. That's not the lesson today. But as they're looking out among them, they're saying, these are the qualifications of someone to fill this role of an apostle. First, he must have been with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. He had to be constantly with us. He wasn't one of the 12, but he was there constantly. In verse 22, beginning from the baptism of John, most people believe that's when John baptized Christ in the Jordan River. Others believe that it was when John the Baptist started his ministry, whichever, we're not going to split hairs over that. But beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, from the resurrection and from the ascension of Christ, 40 days after he had resurrected from the grave, from the dead. So these individuals must have been with us constantly. They couldn't go and come and go as they please. They must have been with us, and they must have been where Christ could teach and instruct, and they would hear this instruction. And then they must have been with us from the time period of the baptism of John all the way to the ascension of Christ. What does that say to you about these individuals that weren't chosen but are here in the upper room? They're not numbered of the apostles, but yet they continue to be with Christ. They would not leave Christ's side. Even though they weren't chosen to be an apostle, they still remained. They still listened. They still observed. They still were instructed. They still went out and witnessed. They still went out and taught and preached as Christ sent them. But yet they weren't chosen. They were passed over, but they didn't go home sulking. They didn't go home whining. They didn't go home saying, well, I'm just not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit in my house, or I'm going to sit on the pew. I wasn't chosen. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll eat some worms. Y'all know that. These men were of this group that remained faithful even though they weren't selected. That speaks volumes to me of their character, of their love and devotion for Christ. If they did not believe Christ was the Savior, if they did not believe Christ was the Son of God, they wouldn't have stuck with it. It says, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. That's what their responsibility is, to speak of the resurrection of Christ. Speak the gospel. And as they were considering these requirements, they didn't go, well, there's nobody. We can't fill this role. We don't have anybody like that. That's not the case. They looked out among themselves. And verse 23, and they appointed two. There were two individuals that fit the criteria here in the room with them. The first was Matthias, and the second was Barsabbas. Matthias, of course, was chosen to fill the role of Judas Iscariot. What does that mean of Barsabbas? He was passed over again. But does he stop serving God? No. So we can see the requirements here. We just don't have sake of time. We don't have the time to look at their responsibilities of what the apostles did. But it's all through Acts chapter 2. Go back and look at Acts chapter 2 with this in mind. They had a message they were to present. It was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was the means by which they were to do it through the strength of the Holy Spirit of God. That's why he came. And they had a method, and it is in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. They were to preach, baptize, and teach. Preach, baptize, and teach. Preach, baptize, and teach. That's their job as apostles. And in Acts chapter 2, it says they continued steadfastly. They persevered and did not faint through their responsibility. And it lists, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 47, it lists what they continued steadfastly in, and that was the apostles' doctrine. That's what they were called to do. But let's look at, with the time we have left, let's look at these recipients that were passed over, these disciples. In Luke 6, 14 through 16, we've already looked at it, lists the disciples. We have Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon called Zealots, Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot. One is called Thaddeus in some places. Their names are a little different in some of the listings. But this is the group that was selected by Christ after he had prayed all night. But there was other candidates, and namely two here in Acts 1 that were still with them. Of these other candidates, we only know the names of two. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. They had followed Christ since the baptism of John. They had been eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Christ and of the resurrected body of Christ. They were gathered here in the upper room right before the day of Pentecost. They had been following Christ. Matthias and Barsabbas had been following Christ the same length of time Peter, Andrew, John had been following Christ. And yet they had not been selected. But they didn't give up. They didn't go back home. They didn't say forget it. They continued selflessly sacrificing their lives to learn of God. Yes, they had been passed over in the numbering and selection of the 12, but they did not quit. They did not quit following Christ. They did not stop serving Christ. They were devoted and humble before the Lord Himself. They were persons of character. They didn't desire the limelight. They didn't have to have that authority and that power. They didn't have to have that position, whatever that position is. They didn't have to have that to continue to serve God. As we look just at our church today, we have certain classes that need teachers. We have certain classes that need teachers' assistants. We have certain classes that need monitors. Everyone can't be a teacher or assistant teacher or monitor. Someone's going to be passed over or not selected. What is going to be your response? Are you going to just say, well, they don't need me, they don't want me, I'm just going to be a side observer? Or are you going to say, I'm not going to quit serving God. I'm going to find something that I can do for the Lord. Amen. And believe me, there are positions in this church that we need workers. There are classes that we would love to start. We don't have the workers. We have a bus that we cannot get out of the driveway because we don't have the workers. There are classes that need people to fill in. The teen church is a great example. Brother Tyson does a great job with the teen church. But Brother Tyson, when we have 5 weeks in a month, Brother Tyson is in that class 3 of those 5 weeks. We need help. Would you step up? Would you be willing? Say, I can't teach. Those teens eat up anything you say from the Bible. They eat it up. You don't have to give the philosophy of the day and the philosophy of the world. All you have to do is teach from this book. And they soak it up. They did not stop serving Christ because they weren't chosen. They continued from the time period of the baptism of John all the way to the ascension of Christ back into heaven and are still there in the upper room desiring to learn something of God. What can I do for God? Was their attitude. They were devoted to God. They were faithful to God. They were persons of integrity and character. They did not desire the limelight. They did not need the position or the authority or the attention. They were not individuals seeking prestige or power or a name. Everyone can't be the pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church. Praise God, He has given us God's man. And He is God's man to lead this congregation. And we are all in subjection to Him. as he is subjected to Christ. They did not get upset or sulk or go home when they were not selected. They did not stop caring for others. They did not stop serving or cause division amongst the others. We see that happening all around us in churches today. Oh, I wasn't selected for that teacher position, or I got passed over for this position in the church. I wanted to be preacher. I wanted to be the teacher. I wanted to be whatever. And divisions happen. And what happens from divisions? Church splits happen. How does that honor God? It doesn't. They did not say, well, I'll just not get involved anymore. I'll just be on the sidelines and be an observer. That's not Matthias. That's not Barsabias. They continued on. Matthias and Barsabias understood, and if you don't hear anything else I say today, please hear this. Matthias and Barsabias understood that the work of God was bigger than them. The work of God is bigger than me and you. The work of God is huge. It's universal. It's worldwide. It's in timeless past, present, and future. All we are to do is be subjected to Christ and to follow Him. Don't seek authority and power and position and the limelight and the name. Don't seek those things. Seek to please God with your life. Seek to be faithful to God in your life. Seek to be selfless, sacrificing servant of Christ. And if someone says and nominates you and you're put into a place of position, take it humbly. Because it is then a place of responsibility and accountability. They realized the work of God was bigger than them. The silence of the Scriptures speaks volumes about these two men. We know how long they followed Christ. We know what they heard. We know what they witnessed. All we have to do is go back and read the gospel records, and every time the apostles are mentioned, Matthias and Barsabias were there. They didn't leave. They didn't go home. They were there. They saw the miracles of God. They heard the parables of God. They were willing to be used of God. If they had messed up, if they had failed Christ, it would have been recorded for us, or they would not have been selected here in this upper room. Because you know, throughout the Scriptures, we are given accounts of people's lives that messed up so that we can learn from them. Think of David. What a great king of Israel. But he messed up. But it's recorded for us so that we can learn from that. Solomon messed up. Elijah, the prophet of God. Lot, Noah, Jonah. Peter, Matthias, and Barsabias, all we hear about them is they continued on. They remained faithful. If they had gone home, they would not have been candidates for Judas' position. If they had not been men of character, they would not have been named here. Their name in the preserved Word of God that we're reading 2,000 years later, and it'll be read throughout eternity, their names lifted up where they were men of character. They were men of integrity. They were men of devotion. They were men of service. Matthias is mentioned only twice by name in the Scriptures, and is right here in Acts chapter 1, here in verse 23, and again in verse 26 when he is said the lot had fell to Matthias, upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11. That's the only two times his name is ever mentioned in the Scriptures. But if you take from Acts chapter 1 and verse 26 and you go through the rest of the book of Acts, and I challenge you to do this, if you'll go from Acts 1:26 and go through the remainder of the book of Acts, every time the word apostles is mentioned, Matthias is in that group. Because now he has been numbered with the apostles. So even though his name is not mentioned, we don't have the names of Bartholomew or Simon or Philip really mentioned anymore. But they're of the 11, of the 12 apostles. Here, Matthias is numbered with the 11, and from the rest of the book of Acts, when it talks about the apostles, it's talking about Matthias as well. And then Barsabbas is only mentioned by name right here in 1:23 of Acts. That's it. We have his brother mentioned a little later. And maybe he influenced his brother. We don't know that for sure. It's in Acts 15. When Barnabas brings Saul before the church, his brother is there with him. These men were continually raising high the standard of the cross. Their lives are the examples that I've been trying to find in the Scriptures to teach us how to raise high the standard of the cross. And the Lord shows me in two verses the two individuals that are the prime example of how to raise the standard of the cross high in this world. Have you ever been passed over for position? Yes, I have. Have you ever been failed to be recognized? Oh, yes. Have you not been selected for a position that you thought you were qualified for? Oh, yes, many times. But that's my mind. That's my thoughts about me. What are you harboring within your heart and mind today that you've been passed over for? Give it to the Lord. Just give it to the Lord. Jealousy, bitterness, anger, resentfulness, hatred. Give it to the Lord. Have you ever been hurt in the past and are now just sitting on the sidelines, not willing to be involved again? The work of God is bigger than you. The work of God is bigger than me. Let us ask for forgiveness and press on for our Lord and for our Savior. Let us put aside our flesh, roll up our sleeves, and get busy for the Lord. Let us encourage and support and pray for those that have been lifted up into a place of position of authority and responsibility and service. Remain faithful. Stay busy. And serve with a spirit of humbleness, a spirit of love, and a spirit of devotion, that you may be called on next to fill the role. Will you be ready? Lord, we love you today. What a lesson you have brought forth for my heart today. Help us, Lord, to lean on you and to trust you. Let us look back at the lives of Matthias and Barsabbas. Let us understand what they witnessed, what they heard, what they saw. Knowing that they were not numbered in that one group, but they were numbered in another group. And you saw all that they did. You saw all that they heard. You saw their hearts. You saw their minds. You saw their love for you. Oh, help us to raise high the standard of the cross. Even when we're not in a place of position, of authority, or a place of service that others can see. There's so much done behind the scenes for the work of God. Help us to realize that your work is bigger than us and to be humble. We love you, Lord. Bless now in the next service. Bless our pastor, I pray in Christ's name.